Chapter 25. Lay, and here he died, and would be tended by none of his neighbors, but by a nurse from abroad, and would not suffer his wife, nor children, nor servants to come up into the room, lest they should be infected, but sent them his blessing, and prayers for them by the nurse, who spoke it to them at a distance, and all this for fear of giving them the distemper, and without which he knew, as they were kept up, they could not have it. And here I must observe also that the plague, as I suppose all distempers do, operated in a different manner on differing constitutions. Some were immediately overwhelmed with it, and it came to violent fevers, vomitings, insufferable headaches, pains in the back, and so up to ravings and ragings with those pains, others with swellings and tumors in the neck or groin, or armpits, which till they could be broke, put them into insufferable agonies and torment, while others, as I have observed, were silently infected, the fever preying upon their spirits insensibly, and they seeing little of it till they fell into swooning, and faintings, and death without pain. I am not physician enough to enter into the particular reasons and manner of these differing effects of one and the same distemper, and of its differing operation in several bodies, nor is it my business here to record the observations which I really made, because the doctors themselves have done that part much more effectually than I can do, and because my opinion may in some things differ from theirs. I am only relating what I know, or have heard, or believe of the particular cases, and what fell within the compass of my view, and the different nature of the infection as it appeared in the particular cases which I have related. But this may be added to, that though the former sort of those cases, namely, those openly visited, were the worst for themselves, as to pain I mean those that had such fevers, vomitings, headaches, pains, and swellings, because they died in such a dreadful manner, yet the latter at the worst state of the disease, for in the former they frequently recovered, especially if the swellings broke, but the latter was inevitable death. No cure, no hell, could be possible, nothing could follow but death. And it was worse also to others, because, as above, it secretly and unperceived by others or by themselves, communicated death to those they conversed with, the penetrating poison insinuating itself into their blood in a manner which it is impossible to describe, or indeed conceive. This infecting and being infected without, so much as its being known to either person, is evident from two sorts of cases which frequently happened at that time, and there is hardly anybody living who was in London during the infection, but must have known several of the cases of both sorts. 1. Fathers and mothers have gone about, as if they had been well, and have believed themselves to be so, till they have insensibly infected, and been the destruction of their whole families, which they would have been far from doing, if they had the least apprehensions of their being unsound and dangerous themselves. A family, whose story I have heard, was thus infected by the father, and the distemper began to appear upon some of them, even before he found it upon himself. But searching more narrowly, it appeared he had been affected some time, and as soon as he found that his family had been poisoned by himself he went distracted, and would have laid violent hands upon himself, but was kept from that by those who looked to him, and in a few days died. 2. The other particular is, that many people having been well to the best of their own judgment, or by the best observation which they could make of themselves for several days, and only finding a decay of appetite, or a light sickness upon their stomachs, nay, some whose appetite has been strong, and even craving, and only a light pain in their heads, have sent for physicians, to know what ailed them, and have been found, to their great surprise, at the brink of death. The tokens upon them, or the plague grown up to an incurable height. It was very sad to reflect how such a person as this last mentioned above had been a walking destroyer perhaps for a week or a fortnight before that, how he had ruined those that he would have hazarded his life to save, and had been breathing death upon them, even perhaps in his tender kissing and embracings of his own children. Yet thus certainly it was, and often has been, and I could give many particular cases, where it has been so. If then the blow is thus insensibly striking, if the arrow flies thus unseen, and cannot be discovered, to what purpose are all the schemes for shutting up or removing the sick people? Those schemes cannot take place, but upon those that appear to be sick, or to be infected. Whereas there are among them at the same time thousands of people who seem to be well, but are all that, while carrying death with them into all companies which they come into. This frequently puzzled our physicians, and especially the apothecaries and surgeons, who knew not how to discover the sick from the sound. They all allowed, that it was really so, that many people had the plague in their very blood, and preying upon their spirits, and were in themselves, but walking putrefied carcasses whose breath was infectious and their sweat poison, and yet were as well, to look on as other people, and even knew it not themselves. I say, they all allowed, that it was really true in fact, but they knew not how to propose a discovery. My friend Dr. Heath was of opinion, that it might be known by the smell of their breath. But then, as he said, who durst smell to that breath for his information? Since, to know it, he must draw the stench of the plague up into his own brain, in order to distinguish the smell. I have heard it was the opinion of others, that it might be distinguished by the parties breathing upon a piece of glass, where, the breath condensing, there might living creatures be seen by a microscope, of strange, monstrous, and frightful shapes, such as dragons, snakes, serpents, and devils, horrible to behold. But this I very much question the truth of, and we had no microscopes at that time, as I remember, to make the experiment with. It was the opinion also of another learned man, that the breath of such a person would poison and instantly kill a bird, not only a small bird, but even a cock or hen, and that, if it did not immediately kill the latter, it would cause them to be roopy, as they call it, particularly that if they had laid any eggs at any time, they would be all rotten. But those are opinions which I never found supported by any experiments, or heard of others, that had seen it, so I leave them as I find them, only with this remark, namely, that I think the probabilities are very strong for them. Some have proposed that such persons should breathe hard upon warm water, and that they would leave an unusual scum upon it, or upon several other things, especially such as are of a glutinous substance, and are apt to receive a scum and support it. But from the whole I found, that the nature of this contagion, was such that it was impossible to discover it at all, or to prevent its spreading from one to another by any human skill. Here was indeed one difficulty which I could never thoroughly get over to this time, and which there is but one way of answering, that I know of, and it is this, viz. The first person, that died of the plague, was on December 20th or thereabouts, 1664 and in, or about Long Acre, whence the first person at the infection was generally said to be from a parcel of silks imported from Holland, and first opened in that house. But after this, we heard no more of any person dying of the plague, or of the distemper, being in that place, till the 9th of February, which was about 7 weeks after, and then one more was buried out of the same house. Then it was hushed, and we were perfectly easy, as to the public for a great while, for there were no more entered in the weekly bill, to be dead of the plague till the 22nd of April, when there was two more buried, not out of the same house, but out of the same street, and, as near as I can remember, it was out of the next house to the first. This was 9 weeks asunder, and after this, we had no more till a fortnight, and then it broke out in several streets and spread every way. Now the question seems to lie thus. Where lay the seeds of the infection all this while? How came it to stop so long, and not stop any longer? Either the distemper did not come immediately by contagion from body to body, or, if it did, then a body may be capable to continue infected without the disease discovering itself many days, nay, weeks together, even not a quarantine of days only, but six and ten, not only 40 days, but 60 days or longer. It is true there was, as I observed at first, and is well known to many yet living, a very cold winter and a long frost which continued 3 months. And this, the doctors say, might check the infection. But then the learned must allow me to say that if, according to their notion, the disease was, as I may say, only frozen up, it would like a frozen river have returned to its usual force and current when it thawed, whereas the principal recess of this infection, which was from February to April, was after the frost was broken, and the weather mild and warm. But there is another way of solving all this difficulty, which I think my own remembrance of the thing will supply, and that is, the fact is not granted, namely, that there died none in those long intervals, viz. Comma from the 20th of December to the 9th of February, and from thence to the 22nd of April. The weekly bills are the only evidence on the other side, and those bills were not of credit enough, at least with me, to support an hypothesis or determine a question of such importance as this. For it was our received opinion at that time, and I believe upon very good grounds, that the fraud lay in the parish officers, searchers, and persons appointed to give account of the dead, and what diseases they died of. And as people were very loth at first, to have the neighbors believe their houses were infected, so they gave money to procure, or otherwise procured, the dead persons to be returned as dying of other distempers. And this, I know, was practiced afterwards in many places, I believe I might say in all places where the distemper came, as will be seen by the vast increase of the numbers placed in the weekly bills under other articles of diseases during the time of the infection. For example, in the months of July and August, when the plague was coming on to its highest pitch, it was very ordinary to have from 1,000 to 1,200, nay, to almost 1,500 a week of other distempers. Not that the numbers of those distempers were really increased to such a degree, but the great number of families and houses, where really the infection was, obtained the favor to have their dead be returned of other distempers, to prevent the shutting up their houses. For example, dead of other diseases beside the plague from the 18th July to the 25th 942, 25th July 1st August 1004, 1st August 8th 12 13 8th 15th 14 39 15th 22nd 13 31 22nd 29th 13 94 29th 5th September 12 64 5th September to the 12th 10 56 12th 19th 11 32 19th 26th 927. Now it was not doubted, but the greatest part of these, or a great part of them, were dead of the plague. But the officers were prevailed with to return them as above, and the numbers of some particular articles of distempers discovered is as follows. August, 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 September, September, September 1, 8, 15, 22, 29, 5, 12, 19, 2, 8, 2, 15, 2, 22, 2, 29, 2, September 5, 2, 12, 2, 19, 2, 26, fever 314, 353, 348, 383, 364, 332, 309, 268, spotted 174, 190, 166, 165, 157, 97, 100, 165, fever surfeit 85, 87, 74, 99, 68, 45, 49, 36, teeth 90, 113, 111, 133, 138, 128, 121, 112, 663, 743, 699. 780, 727, 602, 580, 481, there were several other articles which bore a proportion to these, and which, it is easy to perceive, were increased on the same account, as aged, consumptions, vomitings, imposthumes, gripes, and the like, many of which were not doubted to be infected people. but as it was of the utmost consequence to families not to be known to be infected, if it was possible to avoid it, so they took all the measures they could to have it not believed, and if any died in their houses, to get them returned to the examiners, and by the searchers, as having died of other distempers. This, I say, will account for the long interval which, as I have said, was between the dying of the first persons that were returned in the bill to be dead of the plague and the time when the distemper spread openly and could not be concealed. Besides, the weekly bills themselves at that time evidently discover the truth. For, while there was no mention of the plague, and no increase after it had been mentioned, yet it was apparent that there was an increase of those distempers which be ordered nearest upon it. For example, there were 8, 12, 17 of the spotted fever in a week, when there were none, or but very few, of the plague, whereas before, 1, 3, or 4 were the ordinary weekly numbers of that distemper. Likewise, as I observed before, the burials increased weekly in that particular parish and the parishes adjacent more than in any other parish, although there were none set down of the plague, all which tells us that the infection was handed on, and the succession of the distemper really preserved, though it seemed to us at that time to be ceased, and to come again in a manner surprising. It might be, also, that the infection might remain in other parts of the same parcel of goods which at first it came in, and which might not be perhaps opened, or at least not fully, or in the clothes of the first infected person. For I cannot think that anybody could be seized with the contagion in a fatal and mortal degree for 9 weeks together, and support his state of health so well as even not to discover it to themselves. Yet if it were so, the argument is the stronger in favor of what I am saying. Namely, that the infection is retained in bodies apparently well, and conveyed from them to those they converse with, while it is known to neither the one nor the other. Great were the confusions at that time upon this very account, and when people began to be convinced that the infection was received in this surprising manner from persons apparently well, they began to be exceeding shy and jealous of every one that came near them. Once, on a public day, whether a Sabbath day or not I do not remember, in Aldgate Church, in a pew full of people, on a sudden one fancied she smelt an ill smell. Immediately she fancies the plague was in the pew, whispers her notion or suspicion to the next, then rises and goes out of the pew. It immediately took with the next, and so to them all, and every one of them, and of the two or three adjoining pews, got up and went out of the church, nobody knowing what it was offended them, or from whom. This immediately filled everybody's mouths with one preparation or other, such as the old woman directed, and some perhaps as physicians directed, in order to prevent infection by the breath of others, insomuch that if we came to go into a church, when it was anything full of people, there would be such a mixture of smells at the entrance, that it was much more strong, though perhaps not so wholesome, than if you were going into an apothecary's or druggist's shop. In a word, the whole church was like a smelling bottle. In one corner it was all perfumes, in another, aromatics, balsamics, and variety of drugs and herbs. In another, salts and spirits, as every one was furnished for their own preservation. Yet I observed that after people were possessed, as I have said, with the belief, or rather assurance, of the infection, being thus carried on by persons apparently in health, the churches and meeting houses were much thinner of people than at other times before that they used to be. For this is to be said of the people of London, that during the whole time of the pestilence the churches or meetings were never wholly shut up, nor did the people decline coming out to the public worship of God, except only in some parishes, when the violence of the distemper was more particularly in that parish at that time, and even then no longer than it continued to be so. Indeed, nothing was more strange than to see with what courage the people went to the public service of God, even at that time, when they were afraid to stir out of their own houses upon any other occasion. This, I mean, Before the time of desperation, which I have mentioned already, this was a proof of the exceeding populousness of the city at the time of the infection, notwithstanding the great numbers that were gone into the country at the first alarm, and that fled out into the forests and woods, when they were further terrified with the extraordinary increase of it. For when we came to see the crowds and throngs of people which appeared on the Sabbath days at the churches, and especially in those parts of the town where the plague was abated, or where it was not yet come to its height, it was amazing. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.